thought Damon said he could do it.
Well, you know him. He's always late.
We should keep a score.
Good thing he's not a girl. He'd be pregnant like 8 times.
I see what you did there.
It's like the saddest joke told. Just no happiness, no emotion.
I don't know how. Yeah, we may not. This one might not be a funny one. Really over.
It is what it is. I mean, it's just, you know, we're at that stage of, not that we weren't before, but it's just, it's really acceptance.
Yeah,
it's acceptance.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. I don't know if anybody's drunk after what we have been through this weekend. Maybe the only good thing about the way this season's unfolded is I don't think many members of the Houdat Nation were upset by yesterday's game, and by upset I mean angry. I mean, sure, we might be a little surprised that the offense couldn't even muster up a single touchdown, but I think we all walked into yesterday's game prepared for the worst. And so we all collectively just sat there and took the beating in stride. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. And for those of you who are still with us, enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
It's a 0. I'm drunk on sadness.
Yeah. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
That'd be something if Damon had a number.
This would have, every time we say, well, this would have been the show for Damon to have a number when we don't, and the Saints pull off another pitiful performance.
Yep. How many Swamp Pops did yesterday's game take?
There was definitely a 6-pack of Swamp Pops.
Pontchartrain, strawberry. All right. Game recap?
Glad we didn't go to Houston.
Oh, I know, right?
As those of y'all who follow the show, I'm sure you know, we talked every year. We talk about going to an away game. Houston, very close to New Orleans, 5-hour drive, easy peasy. Man, and we debated it and waited too late, and then we went 0-4. Or where do we start? 0-3. Then we won 3 games, and we were back into going. And luckily, we decided to stay home, huh?
Smart move. Save money. Don't witness that beating in person.
Exactly. I mean, it's not even just save money, right? I mean, man, you know how miserable it would have been. I mean, it was miserable enough watching it on TV.
Yeah. And again, to not have a single touchdown in the game. Could you imagine sitting in Houston Stadium? And, I mean, you knew the defense was going to be bad, but, you know, you were hoping maybe the offense could kind of outscore, but... What happened?
Multitude of things. I mean, look, the Texans have a good defense. Really good defense. Good defensive line. We had piss-poor blocking, both from the line and the tight ends, receivers. Couldn't sustain anything. The defense overall did better, but at the start of the game, they just get... I mean, Hoyer was completed as, what, first 13, 14 passes?
Insane.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Insane.
Couldn't get any pressure, so just like that, it's 14-0. Then you're like, well, shit. And offense just, again, couldn't sustain anything, couldn't just... Sloppy play, mistakes, Zach Strief getting killed by J.J. Watt like we knew he would.
I know you like him extra.
Well, and we slid Pete in there at guard, and he had some issues. And there was even one play that Watt made where they moved Armstead over to the right, so you had Strief, Armstead, and I think a tight end. And Watt still got through.
Right.
But, like, what the fuck was Armstead doing on the right? And that didn't make any sense.
Because Strief needed help?
You don't put Armstead over there with him.
I don't know. Who you got?
I mean, at this point, nobody.
Right. Yeah, you do put Armstead, because you ain't got no... I mean, Lolito Burrito ain't doing nothing.
Ugh.
And, look, I mean, let's give Houston credit. After a rough start, They are a surging team. Their defense has come together. They have not allowed a touchdown in 18 quarters.
Whew. Damn.
That's 4.5 games. I mean, so...
And to do it against the Saints, number two offense in the league.
Right.
Well, and that's the first game the Saints hadn't had a touchdown since 05.
Right.
Oh.
Right. It breaks, not that it was a record yet, but Breeze, who already owned the most games in NFL history with a touchdown consecutively. Mm-hmm. I think it's
he was on his way, right?
He was back up to like 45 straight games.
Right. He was going to break it his own record again and extend it. And if you'll remember, the record got stopped against the Atlanta Falcons in 2012 when we were fucked by
Goodell.
Right. But it's just
stunning to see.
I mean, Breeze only. He completed what 25 of his pass, 44 passes.
I mean, he was under duress all game, and you could see it just getting, you know, a little happy feet back there because he knew the line wouldn't. Nobody was going to block anybody. No, I mean, at least he made it out the game alive. I guess that's a positive.
Didn't we say that was going to be?
I mean, we all knew it. We all knew Streif was going to get destroyed. That wasn't a question. And look, their guys tackle well, and
we thought this was going to be a rebuilding year. I think this is year one of a rebuilding era. It's going to take a while to.
It's going to definitely take more than one season, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't just. We're not just going to come out of it like. Like that.
It's and you know what it is? Like Sean Payton said in his press conference, how he's excited and about the younger players, and I think that's a. Fair statement. I think we're all excited about our younger players. It's our Midland players. The ones,
there are a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. The ones that came in during that 12, 13, 14, those drafts and free agency where Mickey Loomis just shit the bed.
Yeah. I was looking at that again and looking at 2010, the year after the Super Bowl, our first two picks, Jason David and Charlie Brown. I mean, not Jason David.
Patrick
Robinson and Charlie Brown.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
You know.
And look, a lot of the talk now needs to point the finger at Mickey Loomis.
Yeah.
I mean, and Sean Payton too, but you know, Mickey is the one that signed the guys to these deals, and. You know, like, who does, you know, because everybody in the organization answers to Mickey. Well, who the hell does he answer to?
Right now, I don't think anyone.
You know, I mean, they're not going to fire him, even though he should have a lot of heat on him.
It's not even who do you answer to. Like, I don't mind if he doesn't answer to anybody if he's, you know, you're
competent.
You're just good. Right. I mean, and he was. What happened?
Well, I don't know that he was. I mean, we've had.
He kind of fell ass backwards into life.
I mean, He made a good hire in Payton. He struck gold with Breeze. You know, made the trade for Vilma, which really worked out.
Shockey.
The worked one out. Year of sharp of Sharper.
Shockey worked out. Mike McKenzie.
Pierre so, Thomas. I mean, you know, the whole 06 draft.
Right.
So there were some good things.
I mean, but that's
Super
what
Bowl
we...
team was like the serendipitous assembly of just all just strike every hit was a bullseye. You were swinging and you were hitting home runs, and then you know it's like Cinderella. Midnight struck and it's back to
we're pumpkins.
Well, yeah. But again, but not only did midnight strike, and look, I've been saying this for over 2 years. I brought up Mickey last year and was not taken seriously. It was also the whole, we got to win now while we got Breeze and mortgage our future. And that's just bullshit.
It backfired when you missed all the free agents. You know, a lot of these guys didn't pan out.
Well, again, it's not what a real successful team does if you want to sustain mm-hmm. winning. They're the team up north that does that.
They're the Packers?
They're the team up north that does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, them too.
The model
yeah,
franchise
him too.
The model franchise that Jason poo-pooed on last year a week before they went to the Super Bowl
because they hadn't won in a while.
And won.
They were like Les Miles. They were relevant for a long time but didn't get the job done.
Who?
New England.
How?
Until they won last year, jackass.
No, hold on.
They went a decade without winning a Super Bowl.
But they had still went twice.
But they had three before that?
They did. But just
and
man,
they had
stop shitting on my point.
They had went
twice. I get your point. I just don't know that it holds water.
I was just trying to connect the dots, all right? Why you got to crucify me, man?
Because I want to say I'll take 10 years drought of relevancy drought between Super Bowl champions seasons. Like, give me 10 years of straight playoff appearances.
Jeff, you shut your damn pie hole!
You got to respect the Saints' right to lose.
Right. So, yeah, and that's the problem. Mickey didn't answer to anybody, really, other than Benson. And
look at bad contracts, bad
drafts.
Terrible drafts, and again, terrible free agents, and the whole win now, fuck this.
It's an erosion of talent that you could clearly see on the field.
Right.
Yesterday.
So if Tom Benson is in the state that he's in, and we talked about this last week, and especially I like Lane commented about the frail state he was in. If he fell over, he'd break. I mean, he's obviously not really. I mean, that he would be the guy that Mickey Loomis would have to answer to, and the fact that all this has happened kind of shows that even Tom Benson is out of it.
Hold on, stop. Let me say something. So I know a gentleman who worked for the Saints. He's worked there for 30-something years, very plugged in, blah, blah, blah. So you say that Benson's not mad. I'm trying to think after what game this was, after the three losses. Anyway, he said that Mr. Benson called in Mickey and Sean and ripped them a new asshole. He said the whole facility was on pins and needles that week because Benson was on a tear. He also said that Mr. Benson is not mentally frail. You know, he said Mr. Benson was on a tear, and it was the same thing that he had done to Jim Miller. If you remember, Jim Miller was part of the Holy Trinity under it was Moore, Miller, and Kuharik.
Mueller. No, you mean Finks?
No, I mean Miller, Jim Miller.
Okay.
I don't remember that name.
Because you're not a Saints fan.
Oh,
but if you are a Saints fan, remember there after Mr. Finks passed away,
I remember Kuharik.
Kuharik, Moore, and Jim Miller. Anyway. And Mr. Benson laid into Mickey and Sean after a loss. So Mickey does answer to somebody. Benson is still, you know,
holding
people accountable. Yeah, the damage is done. Look, I mean, I didn't like the strategy of win now when we were doing it. But, you know, look, this is a guy who works for you and you let him do it. So it's kind of pointless.
You went along with it, so you can't really fire him for it. You just course correct.
Out
of this hole.
Right, but to say that Mr. Benson isn't keeping people accountable is a total farce. That is not true.
I stand corrected.
I have it from a very good source inside the organization.
From good authority?
Very good authority.
Authority. What was the result after that week of yelling? Did we win the next game?
Well, it doesn't matter. You've already.
Washington?
It doesn't matter. You've already bought the groceries.
All right, so then
there's nothing he could do right now.
Right.
Yeah, nothing Mickey can do right now about it. He's got to lay in his bed.
So if you're Benson and you're going on a tirade, what are you saying to them at that point?
Fuck you.
You give me some goddamn ice cream.
Fuck you, assholes, you know?
Right.
This is what I'm paying hundreds of millions of dollars a year in salary to fucking do, to lose.
You know what the last guy that did this? His last name was Ditka.
And look, we're all in. Mr. Benson is up there in age. God bless him. I hope he has another 10 years with us at 12. But I'm pretty sure he's thinking, I'd like to go to another Super Bowl. And I don't have that many years left in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So he's going to double down on the win now strategy?
Yeah. You know? I don't have a lot of years left ahead of me, but we need to correct this.
Yeah.
So
they'll do that.
Yeah, so anyway, to say Mr. Benson's checked out, total bullshit. Don't.
All right. Well, good stuff. Good. Good to know.
Don't buy it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad, and we'll see what kind of decisions are made in the off season where they go. Obviously, questions about you're going to see rumors swirling about Sean and Drew. If we keep losing.
Well, we need to all just kind of remember. We heard rumors about Les Miles. Rumors are rumors, and the media is going to latch on them, and they're going to ride those things into the ground.
Look, I think we've all heard that there's some clause in Sean Payton's contract. I don't think that would let him out next year. Now, the only place I saw what I saw is that if there was an ownership change, he could opt out of his contract. I do not believe that he can just say, okay, I'm going somewhere else, and just cancel his
contract.
Well,
could he just walk away, like basically kind of retire?
Yes,
and not coach next year.
Sure, he could do that. Yeah. No one is forcing him to work. You know, I'm sure the $16 million he's made in the last 2 years is a nice retirement fund, and the $40-odd million I bet he's made in the 10 years he's been here.
But I mean, if he did quit, he could line up a TV job very quickly.
Oh, no doubt. He could
recruit some of that cash if he wanted to.
Yes, he could. He could. There's other things he could do besides coaching. But could he walk away and go to Miami or somewhere? And no. And
not without the Saints really saying, all right, we're totally rebuild. Sean will trade you to whatever team for a couple of draft picks. Drew will trade you to a team. It's going to be a...
Well, you know, there's
possibilities there for that.
There's this idiot writer in New York that keeps putting out, and it was
in
one of
the papers.
Did you
see the cover?
Yeah.
It was on the cover.
The cover of some New York Post. Right. And it's Drew Brees running off the field in his Saints uniform with his Fortaleza helmet raised in hand saying, you know, we need to get this guy. And, the fuck? Well, you know what? Why don't you put a picture of fucking Tom Brady up there, too, if you're wishing high? I mean, fuck.
Right. Aaron Rodgers. Put them all three on there.
Right, in the article it said, if he becomes available. Well, no shit, asshole. You think so? You think you need one of the greatest QBs in the history of the NFL if he becomes available? That's very good.
More than half the teams in the league would be going after that guy. All right, let's move. You want to move on? Because obviously we ain't recapping.
I mean, what recap?
Forbath kicked well?
Yeah.
That's their longest kick in Saints history.
57 yards.
So look, that's what the Saints are back to, kicking long field goals as our means of scoring.
We've come full circle.
Uh-huh.
You know.
The good old days.
I mean, that's...
Well, all you young fans, you wanted to know what it was like.
I mean, this is...
For us, as Saints fans, when we were younger. Welcome.
Except we had a better defense.
That's true.
But basically, it was this kind of offense a lot back in the day.
Okay. Yet.
Well, one last question. This year especially, what happened to halftime adjustments? Before this year,
we were one of the best teams at halftime adjustments.
If we were within 6 points or 14 points going into halftime, didn't y'all always feel like, oh, now we got this, we'll go in and...
Yes.
We'll come out hot.
Right. Mm-hmm. And man, we'll go.
You know what else we did? We also scored on our opening drives back then too.
Yeah.
And we also scored on the last 2 minutes of the half.
Right. We always put that extra right going into halftime. We took momentum and a score. I mean, what?
Look, it's the slow degradation. It's just the downfall of the offensive line because the Saints had a lot of trouble on first down. They were causing a lot of second and third and longs, and when your line can't block, you don't have time for those intermediate routes to get open.
Yeah.
Whereas beforehand, Brees could just sit back there, oh, check this guy, oh, no, he's, you know, he had time to let the plays develop, and he would always find a guy, and that was the big difference.
I mean, that has to be it, because I could have, right, you remember back, again, not that terribly long ago, I mean, even 11, 12?
Even, yeah, right, dude, 11, third, we,
right.
Same thing, dominant.
You know,
Ever since we let Nix go, it's been...
There was a wide receiver, it seemed like, open on every play. Third and 15, don't worry about it. We're gonna hit somebody long.
Somebody open, right.
Right. Somebody, you know, is it talent? I guess, and I think you were correct. It's the offensive line.
Simple as that.
They've gotten old. We did a terrible job at replacing them. Mm-hmm. And we could never let Nix go.
I mean, was Lolito where? How did we?
He didn't even play. He didn't even play.
Right.
Get your head out your burrito ass. He didn't even play. We started Pete instead.
Now, is Alito injured, or is that just a...
No, he sucks.
How?
He's not good. But he hasn't been good all season.
I know, but he was serviceable before. How does he become such a piece of shit?
Because he's playing next to other pieces of shit, and he's exposed.
And how come we can't get rid of Streep?
Maybe he was able to hide his shittiness. Or you don't know. Sometimes guys are dealing with a little injury that it's not an injury, but he's got an injury or something. You know, like a little.
And look, maybe our offensive line coach sucks too. You know, that's always a possibility.
Well,
when Fromer left, that's when the line really started to fall apart. Cromer, great offensive line coach.
It's just I'm sick of so many plays I saw yesterday where the line and the block were just missing blocks and they're like bent over trying. They don't have the leverage, but they're just like trying after the fact to try to like push. They're like bent over trying to push the guy out the way, but you can see they all just got blown up.
Right.
It was
right,
frustrating.
Right. The play's already over. What are you doing? Huh. Yeah, you've already lost on the play. Thanks. I mean, it is so frustrating.
Yeah. It's just it's the sad acceptance of
the era is over.
Yeah.
The 2009 to 2011 era is done. You know, that dominant Saints are done. Now, what can we do to get back there? I don't know. Is Sean Payton the coach to do that for you?
That's going to be the big question.
There's a point to debate there. Is Sean Payton an energizer who can come in, inject excitement, but not sustain like a Belichick? Like a Belichick is a guy who can sustain, right? And there's different types of coaches out there.
But again, you know, look.
Jason, I know you don't think that that's possible, but.
I just think it was a stupid argument you texted.
I don't think it's a stupid argument.
He's an energizer. I mean, if you look at the NFL in general, very rarely does a coach last 10 years.
Right, sure.
You could say that about every coach. Comes in, there's a few years where they've got some success, and then free agency hits, and they don't replace it, and they fall apart.
Okay, so same logic then. Okay, Sean Payton's hit his 10-year. I mean, even Bill Cowher, well, he retired.
Oh, look, that's a possibility, but it's not like, maybe he's a quick energizer. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? That doesn't mean anything. He's just going the normal NFL head coach cycle. Even the good ones, this is about where you either can kind of reinvent yourself a little bit, or that's it, it's over.
Well, but again, I think it comes back, I'll take it back to what we said before, at least in this organization, not only is it Sean Payton coaches, how much he brings the players in or who he brings in, I don't know. I'm sure he has 90% is him. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick is 100%.
Yeah.
So, but I tell you what, who you think we're bad now, wait till we lose number 9.
No, man.
Okay.
That's going to be our final season.
Without number 9. Right. We retire with Breeze. Because after number 9 goes, if we had this team without number 9,
oof, man.
We're 0-16. We're the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
With 2008, you know.
Yeah.
We're 0-16 without Drew Brees.
If we had a Matt Ryan, we're 0-16.
Right. And that's the only team I see us beating for the rest of the Atlanta.
That's chapter 1. Would you like to have chapter 2? You better, son of a bitch. I know the way.
Well, if we had LSU's athletic director as our GM, they'd be sticking around.
No, there'd be rumors of the firing or the trade.
Yeah,
then the fans would show so much support.
The players would carry him off the field.
Right.
Who are you talking about? Miles or Peyton?
Does it matter?
Great time to be a sports fan in Louisiana.
I mean, it's interesting. Georgia did the exact same thing that LSU was going to do, except they kept it fucking quiet because it ain't fucking Louisiana and people like to talk.
Well, but I think Georgia fucked themselves, though.
Why?
I mean, who are they going to get? Their coach was a pretty decent coach. I mean,
they probably thought Les Miles was going to be on the market.
Well, you know, I mean, look, the problem isn't that Miles is bad. I mean, look, Miles has problems. Don't get me
right.
wrong. I mean, Miles has problems.
But again, who do you have to bring in?
But right, the problem is Saban is a fucking bad
genius.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Saban. Again, I don't follow LSU as closely as I follow the Saints. Jason, maybe you do. I know Jeff. I must say you don't either.
Not as close to the Saints, right?
Jason probably followed it more than both of us. I have two friends. Well, you know Doug and my buddy Danny out of who lives in Austin. He went to Texas A&M. He followed college pretty heavily. And so just talking to them and listening to the LSU talk on WWL, like I said, Miles has problems. We all know it. We've all seen, you know, his time management is fucking terrible. But his main thing is that he doesn't seem to change. And he doesn't respect the position of quarterback in today's football. He's kind of like Jim Moore Sr. You know, he's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And he needs, Les Miles needs to modernize himself. Yeah, adapt. He needs to say, okay, you know what? We need better quarterback play. We need to go, you know, we need to throw the ball. Dude, you
well,
watch
it. I think your best, right? Your best coaches are the ones who can adapt, right? I mean, you can't say I'm going to stick with this formula regardless of what happens.
That's what he's done. That's Miles in a nutshell.
Again, will pass you by.
Right. And look, I don't follow. But look, Cam Cameron is a respected offensive coordinator nationally. You know, he's been in the NFL. He's been in college. It's my belief that Miles, and I think, Jeff, maybe you said this, I thought, you know, that Miles dictates, this is what we're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want you to call. Maybe Jason said, I don't know.
Jason,
you know, but something to that effect, that Les Miles says, this is how we're going to do it. And it's, again, only my
opinion.
Correct. Only my opinion. And I could be 100% wrong, you know.
Either
but
way, you're talking about a guy who, remember when we talked to T-Bop, he said, look, Miles is good for the program as a recruiter. He's a players coach. He's all these things are good. The only issue is that the big moments escape him. So then if you're going to talk about what do you want in your coach, you have to decide, do you want a guy who's good for everything except for the big moments? And is that the kind of guy like a Peyton Manning who he'll get you there? He'll break all the records. He'll get you to the game, but you can't win it. Except once.
Right.
I don't know. I think I might rather a guy who can win.
Well, sure, but who?
And who may not be as good for the program.
But who is that guy? You look at.
I don't know.
You look at Miles recruiting. Dude, he's right up there with Alabama, which is insane.
Insane. None of that matters if you can't do anything with those guys.
Well,
I mean, it keeps the program at a prestigious level.
Correct.
And that's one of the things, you know, when they were looking at keeping him, is that you've already had a recruit or two decommit from LSU with all the stuff, you know, swirling around. So.
Yeah.
Had they decommitted or did they just agree? I mean, I know.
No, like one of the, some quarterback.
He decommitted. He decommitted.
He decommitted. But I thought there was another guy that also decommitted.
Then there was a cornerback who's agreed to go visit A&M. Which I guess you can take that as a decommitment, you know?
Right.
And again, none of these commitments.
All of them still could still play here.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But so, and there's another thing. What do you want? Do you want a couple of championships and then lose relevancy? Or do you want, you know, 15 years of relevancy with maybe one championship among it? It's up to, you know, there's different ways to look at how you define success.
And.
Well, I mean, look, Miles might have got another year, but he's definitely going to have to change and do something next year. He's going to have to improve somehow.
And maybe
we don't even know if he got another year yet. The guy never said.
His contract runs through.
All right, but he still said.
There's already enough bad PR.
The whole game.
If they were to go back and fire him after
oh,
all.
Oh God,
this.
Nobody would want to come.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you
right.
You
yeah, why would you even
you
want to come
yourself, right.
come here with all these goddamn boosters and their money controlling the program? Nobody's going to want to deal with that.
Right. I mean,
that's
right.
probably
it,
why they really
came. No, the guy came out, you know, again, the AD fucked up. Like he hurt the program a lot more than Miles, like you said, the guy maybe decommitting and all that shit. the guy hurt the fucking the AD hurt the program. If you do anything to Miles now, you've just yourself back to
something
Tennessee.
Something you said last week, Damon. Then maybe the AD needs to go.
Oh, I think so. I would love to see LSU get another AD. I would love that.
Arnie Fieldco is available.
I would, and you know what? I would love to see him get again. I mean, I think we all have a lot of respect for Fieldco.
Yeah. That would be, wouldn't that be something?
I think that would be awesome. And look, I think a lot of criticism of Miles is that what we talked about isn't new. He's been like that since he's been here. I'm hoping that this scare is the right word for him. That he will change. That he will say, okay, I have to fucking change and change big.
He has to because he loves it here and. Right. You know, he doesn't want to go anywhere else. So
the fans are loyal when you're winning. I mean,
right? And they showed him all that love Saturday night. I hope he changes it. And I think, look, he's been successful. No one can't call the man unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. Two national championship appearances, one victory, 80% win. You know, winning percentage. You can't call him unsuccessful. But, and I think
he just can't beat Alabama, Ole Miss, or Arkansas. Well,
no, he can beat Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss is. Yeah. 2-0 the last 2 years. And look, their coach, Hugh Freeze, here's a guy that came out of obscurity. He was a high school coach in Mississippi.
And we don't know if that's going to last either. That could be first year.
No, he's been there 4 years.
A couple of years. He's got in some big recruiting classes. Their team's definitely better. I mean, they've beaten Alabama, but then they, you know, being the Butters, they go back and lose
to Memphis.
Games, right. And they never make, you know, they
well,
never
Memphis
make
has
it.
A good program this year.
Memphis is good this year. You are correct. They lost to Arkansas. Arkansas came on strong at the end of the year. They got their shit wrapped together. And there's a stat. I don't know if we talked about it, but or we brought with y'all over Danny and Doug, but like, after playing Alabama, teams' winning percentages are like 20% or 30%. You lose 70% of the time after you play Alabama.
Like they crush you.
Yeah, I mean
they just beat you up. You know, right. all those NFL bodies.
Right.
Like with the, due to the Falcons.
You know.
I don't know how they did that this year, but yeah.
Well, because the Falcons are bad, too.
Oh, yeah, they are bad.
All right,
but
you went for line drawings and you fucked up, you fucking idiot. You brainwashed yourself, you motherfucking stupid cocksuckers, because you never studied your whole homework. That's two capital H's there. All the rest are lowercase in any fucking case. Supreme Court, you are not the fucking Supreme Court of anything. Except hell, for the next 10,000 years, you will shovel your shit and eat it because you're on refeed, motherfucker, that just started backwards and you can't do a fucking thing about it. The public are going to take back every fucking thing from you that you took away from them, you motherfucker.
All right, let's move on to look at him tweets. All right, so Neil did mention to us, think of the money and time you all save by not going to the game. We talked about that a little earlier.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
So this is, here comes one from Neer. We haven't heard from Neer in a while.
He had a few tweets today.
Yeah, Neer got off, you know, he must have found his phone. Welcome back. He's even using the old hashtag, tweets from the Twitter thing.
I saw that. Taking it back old school.
Yeah.
Like Saints.
Oh, that's what he's doing. All right, what was this loss worse than the one versus the Redskins?
I mean, no, I don't know.
I don't think it was worse. I think that
it was equal to. Well, as far as that goes, no. Look, I think
Houston's a better team.
Out of the last three games we played, Tennessee, the Redskins, and the Houston. Houston's the better of those three teams. Houston, again, they started slow. Had some problems gelling. That defense has really come on the last four games. So they are 6-5 right now and tied for the lead in their division. So, I mean, in that aspect, no. Houston's a better team than the last three teams that we've lost to.
It was frustrating that they came out and played this way after a bye. That was pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figured, all right, we got 2 weeks to get something right, to get
is
some
this the first time the Sean Payton team has lost after a bye?
No, I can't.
No, he. I'm pretty sure 5, 6. I mean 6, 7, and 8. He lost after the bye. I think it was 2009 when he did something different.
Okay. All right. Next one, also from near. Did Ingram sleep with Peyton's wife? Only 10 carries, despite an average 5+ yards per carry in a shitty offensive day.
That's funny.
I mean, I'm going to say we kind of got behind early quick, and we all know Peyton's mentality is throw.
No, I mean, that too, and just there's, you know, even though the yards per carry was high, they were buoyed by a couple of long runs. There weren't, as has been the case all season, there weren't a lot of whole running lanes to go through.
And especially against Texas.
Yeah.
Very good against the run. What was more disappointing was that they ran on us. And they, I'm pretty sure, were the worst running defense, the worst running offense in the league.
Oh, yeah, well, they showed that stat a lot in the first half. Like, yeah. The Texans only averaged 70 yards rushing a game, and it was just the last in the NFL. And as their yardage keeps climbing up, they kept showing that graphic. It's like, it's getting closer, and it's past it.
And they ended up with 167 yards.
Right. Without Arian Foster, with freaking Alfred Blue back there, and Chris Polk.
Wow. That's Saints defense for you. Brian Hoyer look good, too.
Well, we make everybody look good. There's not a lot of talent there.
Kirk Cousins look good.
Yeah. And then so Neer's going for the trifecta here. Bro got at least 2 penalties. Time to worry about if he spends too much time with Browner.
You know, I'm not worried about Bro's penalty as much as what made me upset. And was the delay of game that we took with the referee standing over the ball. This is the second time in 3 games, I remember the last one was in the Superdome, where we all know the rule, the NFL rules, if the offense substitutes players,
you have to give time
to the defense. But the defense doesn't have 40 seconds to do it. You know? So I'm not sure exactly, you know, the referee standing over the ball like that with 5, 4, 2 counting down, that's bullshit. You know, the rule wasn't made to penalize the offense. So, you know, I'm not sure what happened there. Did we substitute late? That's the only thing I'm assuming.
I think that's what we kind of did, a little late substitution, and you didn't give the defense the time to make a corresponding substitution to match it. I think that's what was explained when it was on TV.
Well, I mean, again, because it's on TV and not at home, or not in the dome, it's hard for for me to see when we did exactly the substitutions. I guess I don't know. Maybe we were in a no huddle.
It was just a weird play. It's a weird play. But I mean, look, Bro has had some penalty issues early in the season. Seemed to get better, so maybe this is kind of a fluky thing. Plus, now Hopkins is pretty good. If that's who the I noticed for a while Browner was on Hopkins, and I didn't understand that. I felt like Bro should have been on him all game. But they kept Hopkins kind of in check, which I was surprised. I was very surprised at that.
Yeah, well, I think also they're bad. Their bad quarterback did that, too.
Wow. I think Bro is actually one of the bright spots, few bright spots moving forward. Well,
and here's a...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
You know, Delvin Bro's named the Saints winner of the Ed Block Courage Award for his epic perseverance and, you know, his rehabilitation from his neck injury.
Right.
Coming in here, starting all 11 games, 35 tackles, 28 of them solo, an interception, and a fumble recovery. That, of course, was never published. And team leading 17 passes, defensed.
Good job, Bro.
Well, let me ask you all this, and I don't know if this... what has to happen in your mind where Dennis Allen is still the defensive coordinator next year?
I think show more improvement like this past Sunday. I mean, other than the first 2 opening drives, the defense kind of tightened up a little bit. Now, we blitzed a decent amount and couldn't get any pressure, but that's the case of no talent. As long as our defense doesn't shit the bed, He'll probably. I mean, you know, this is assuming Peyton comes back. I would say Allen will probably be back.
I'm afraid so also.
I mean, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's too early to judge.
Well, again, that's why I said what have to happen going forward this season. I mean
we would have to go back to giving up, you know, 450, 500 yards a game, just be absolute shit. Or maybe the players revolt. I mean, it would take something crazy for that to happen, I think.
All right.
Unless Peyton just says, fuck it, clean house. He sticks around and just fires all the assistants and brings in all new ones.
That's not going to happen.
That's what he needs to do, and we've talked about that every episode, so we won't go too much into it this time. Let's just go into Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table! Come on! It's the one game you never, ever win.
All right, interesting week of pick'ems here. Damon, you were the worst of the bunch, going 3-2 out of the three of us.
Not that bad.
No, it's not too bad. Not too bad. Jeff and I both went 4-1. He missed out on New England. I was the only one to pick Denver, and Jeff was the only one to take Seattle in their matchup against Pittsburgh. So, in terms of the three of us, we are all tied at 32-26,
which puts us in second place overall with Alex Barbie as well. But first place right now is the sole holder of first place is Hungry Hoodat with a 36-22 record.
Ooh, man. Four-game lead.
And then you got in third place, you got a tie between Glenn and Dat the Twins, each with 30 wins. And Neil, you got 28 wins. Mr. Sazapo still holding up the rear at 15-23. But he picked up a game, actually. He went 3-1, 3-2 this week, Mr. Sazapo did.
Okay. All right. All right, moving on into this week's slate of games. Some interesting matchups here. First one being the Houston Texans coming off that thorough win against the Saints at the Buffalo Bills, coming off a loss in Kansas City this past week. Tyrod Taylor threw the ball early, got Sammy Watkins involved, and they got out to a lead, but Kansas City stormed back and beat them. This game is in Buffalo, and the Bills are favored by 3 points.
I mean, that's just... Those games are so hard to... I mean, 3 points is nothing in the NFL. You know, that's just home field advantage, so... I guess, you know, I'll go with the Bills just because I will give them the home field advantage. But even though the Texans are trending hot, I'll go against my better judgment and take the Bills.
Okay, I'm going to take Houston because the Bills have burned me for the last time this year.
You didn't even pick them last week.
I know. And it worked for me.
Okay. Man. You know, I think I'm going to go Buffalo. I don't believe Brian Hoyer on the road in Buffalo. That's what it comes down to.
All right.
Correct.
So, the next game, big game in terms of potential wild card teams or playoff seeding. Wow, you're kidding me. Sorry to interrupt. I don't know if y'all just saw the end of the Monday Night Football game.
No.
So the game's tied 27-27 with like 3 seconds left. Cleveland is attempting a... What are you? Did you pause it? Are you behind?
Yeah, but go ahead. You can tell. I don't care.
So Cleveland attempts a 51-yard field goal at the end of regulation to win it. It's blocked, and Baltimore returns it for a touchdown.
Jeez.
to end the game.
Holy
Such
shit.
Such is life as a Cleveland fan. I mean, look, as bad as it is as a Saints fan right now, at least we're not Cleveland fans.
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to pick'ems. Seattle Seahawks coming off a high-scoring contest against the Steelers, beating them at home against the Minnesota Vikings, who came off a pretty dominant win against the Falcons in the Georgia Dome, 20-10. Seattle losing Jimmy Graham with a torn patella tendon, so he's done for the year. A really brutal injury there. This game's in Minnesota, and Minnesota is actually catching a point.
I'll take Minnesota.
Who's catching a point?
Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota also.
I'm going to stick with you guys. I'll go with Minnesota. Seattle on the road? Nope.
Thank you. All right, our next game, we got a battle of MetLife Stadium. The New York Jets at the New York Giants. Both teams playing in their home stadium, but the Jets get the visitor's locker room this week. The Jets coming off a 38-20 win against the Dolphins, while the Giants coming off a loss to the Redskins. The Redskins now first place in that division.
They're tied for first.
Well, they're
the
tied,
Giants,
but they have the tiebreaker.
They have the tiebreaker.
The Jets are favored by a point and a half.
I'll take the Jets.
I'll take the Jets, too. I think they're a better team.
I'll take the Giants. Don't believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right, next game. This really is the next best game in terms of records, even though it doesn't appear to be a really great game. The Atlanta Falcons coming off their loss at home to the Vikings. There's actual talk about possibly benching their $100 million quarterback because he threw another pick in the end zone. At the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh-wee.
Buccaneers themselves coming off a loss at the Colts. This game is down in Tampa, and the Bucs are favored by 2.
The Bucs are favored by 2.
Bucs are actually favored against Atlanta by 2.
I love
it. Yeah, but it's still not the 3 that you get for home.
Right, right. It's not 3. I'll go first. I'm going to go with Tampa.
I'm going with Tampa also.
I'm also going to go with Tampa. I think the last time we had a Falcons game, everybody picked not Falcons.
That was last week.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. The last 2 weeks. This is the third Falcons game in 3 weeks. So.
Uh-huh.
So.
We always go against Atlanta. And it's been working for us.
Yeah. So, all right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Which I'm looking at my stand at my previous. Damn, I thought this was a rematch of a previous shitty game, but no, surprisingly. It is not, even though both of these teams have been involved in multiple shitty week games. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. Titans coming off a 3-point loss at home to the Raiders. While the Jaguars coming off a loss at home to the Chargers, 31-25.
Mm-hmm.
Both games playing a shitty division. Their quarterbacks are playing okay, but just haven't been able to get wins. This game's in Tennessee, and the Titans are favored by 2.5.
I'll take Jacksonville.
I'll take Jacksonville also.
Getting 3 points. Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville.
Yeah. All right, there you go. And there's your pick'ems.
Okay, that'll take us into game preview. We have to talk about this?
I mean, my head says Carolina's going to destroy us in the Dome. My heart says, I mean, this is going to be one of the only remaining games that's going to give me any kind of satisfaction if the Saints win.
Right.
To end their undefeated streak.
Right. Now, the good thing, let me tell you about New England losing last night. And I looked this back. I looked this up back in 2009 when we were 13-0, and the Colts went 14-0. And I forget how long you have to go back. And again, I looked it up in 2009. I don't know. I don't remember what's happened since then. But for the last undefeated team to win the Super Bowl, like in 2009, you had to go back to the 80s. You know, it just that team, for some reason, who was the last one to lose, just never wins the Super Bowl. And we all remember, pretty sure we're still the last team, or the last Super Bowl that had the two number ones facing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Two number one seeds. So it just doesn't work out for whatever frickin' reason.
We were a team that was the last undefeated, weren't we?
No, the Colts.
No, the Colts. Colts went 14-0 that year.
Oh,
right.
Okay. That's
before
right.
They decided to sit everybody. So I mean, I was kind of, you know, kind of took a little solace in that when the Pats lost last night to a Peyton Manningless Denver team. So yeah, I'm like you, Jason. I mean, the only redeeming game, the only two redeeming, Carolina and Atlanta. To beat Atlanta, you have to sweep them and piss them off. And then to kick the Panthers in their little balls and destroy their, you know, hopes of an undefeated season.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, that's all I want to see.
Right. I mean,
it
I don't,
is.
Right. I mean, we have, you know, I have no fantasies about our defense stopping anyone.
No, I mean, especially with Cam running his little option, I mean.
Right.
They're going to slaughter us.
And I mean, of course, the game was flexed to 3:30, and man, being what kind of season is, and the fact that I'm getting older, it's like I'd rather a freaking noon game than have to. Because I know I'm just going to tailgate and get drunk, and then we're going to lose, and then it's like instead of having those extra hours to kind of get back home and let the day, like it's already going to be 7:30 by the time I get home, 8:00. Yeah, unless if for some crazy reason we're able to knock them off, that'd be at least a little sweet.
Look, it's a division game. We know them well, I would imagine. So that has to make us a little, you know.
Well, I think strategically we'll be ready for the game. It's talent.
Yeah, well, we don't have any of that.
No.
Except at number 9.
And again, their defense is good. I'm sure they're going to get, you know, pressure on us again. And
well, Kiko. I mean, Ingram's going to run 5 times.
Well, no. Spiller might run it twice.
Right. 7 total runs, that sounds about right.
So, just, I don't know, maybe.
The question is, what's the over-under on Browner's penalties?
Well, they don't really have any receivers, so.
That's so they won't stop Browner.
Yeah, but. I don't know, maybe. I was trying to hope for it, like, maybe not.
Oh, maybe they right them not having receivers. Maybe we will be able to play a little bit of a different against them.
Let's hope to God he's never matched up on Ted Ginn, because Ginn's just going to blow right by him and he's going to be forced to.
Ooh,
hold.
I got
to
start Ginn.
Start all your Panthers. Really, if you own Panthers, start them. I mean, law of you know this whole season has said start anybody against the Saints and you should do fine.
Mm-hmm.
So just you know, I mean, what is the again? Let's. Let's see what the crowd looks like. I saw the Panthers return some of their allotted tickets they had for the game.
That's
I wonder
surprising.
How many, considering they're undefeated, yeah, it is a little surprising.
Yeah, I mean, this would be, maybe because it's close to Christmas, people don't want to spend that extra money to travel.
I mean, and the fact that the last game they played here, they thoroughly whooped us. It was like, 41-something last year that they just killed us?
Yeah. Well, those are the games I want to go to as a fan.
I want to torture myself.
No, I'm talking about if I'm the away team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, your team's got all the momentum. Your team's playing great.
Right.
I would come to this game. I would come to New Orleans.
I would. So, just
all right.
I mean,
score predictions.
Oh man,
Jason.
My last salvage of hope, even though last week I actually did predict Houston to win, which they did. I want to get this satisfaction this year. Just beat them and beat the Falcons and lose the rest of the games. That's all I want. So I'll go 24-23 Saints.
Damon,
just a point.
I'll go 28-30 Saints.
Wow, we are stupid.
Yes, I'm going to go 44-17 Panthers.
That'll probably be closer to
reality.
You're right, closer to reality for sure.
All right, and then real quick before we head out for this week, I wanted to just check in on our bold predictions that we made at the beginning of the season.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so I came in with Willie Snead will score more touchdowns than Brandon Coleman. So that one's still alive.
That's happened, yeah.
Jason, you said Snead will have 70-plus catches.
He was on pace earlier. What's he at now?
45.
Okay, so he would need 25 in five games, five a game. It could be done.
Out of the realm of possibility.
Right, it's not out of, there's still a somewhat decent chance, maybe like a 30-40% chance.
Same chance as the Saints making the playoffs, you know.
Something like that.
All right, Damon, you said Cam Jordan would have 15 sacks.
Yeah, I feel like he's not close to that.
he's got six.
So he would need nine and what in how many games?
Five. He would need to go up against the Saints offensive line in every game.
So he'd need to get two a game. Not undo. Yeah.
That's it.
I came in with Ben Watson scoring more touchdowns than Jimmy Graham.
Well,
Watson has three. His season's done. I don't know what Graham has, but his season's done. God, I feel dirty clicking on a Seattle Seahawks page. Jimmy Graham's got, two touchdowns. That's it.
So that's it. That one came.
Yeah, he's got him. He
came true.
Woo!
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I was hearing people say last night that, you know, this might be a blessing in disguise for Seattle, that their other tight end is more of a traditional tight end like they use and might actually be better for Seattle than Graham.
Hmm.
He definitely did not put up his Saints-like numbers.
Oh, no, not even close. Well, you know, when you go from Drew to Russell Wilson.
You kind of go down a little bit.
A little bit.
All right, then you got Jason. I think you came in with Ingram having 50-plus catches, and he's got 46 right now.
Okay, so yeah.
Oh, that's
No, that's targets. He's got 40 catches. He has 46 targets.
Okay, well then this...
40 catches.
Why is that stat wrong then?
I don't know, because it's you. You look up wrong stats. That's what you do. Decent chance there.
How do you know he's got 40?
Well, this is according to ESPN.
Well, mine's according to Google.
Okay, sure. Come on, let's move along. Meow.
I just want to see. 40, 46. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how about that, huh? I can read.
All right, Damon, you said that Jay Bird plays eight games. I can't remember if you were saying only eight or that.
No, I was saying he played at least eight games.
At least eight. Okay.
I don't know.
I know he missed the first couple of games, but I think he came back in game four or five.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his way.
I think that'll happen. He'll get at least half a season out of it.
Hey, he got an interception yesterday.
There you go. And who ruined it with the hold? Browner?
Yeah, on the block in the back.
Yeah. Then I came in with the Saints defense finishing in the top 18.
God, that should go up in the wall of shame.
Jeez. I even backed off of the previous year's bold prediction.
Well,
it was top 14. All right, Damon said Breeze breaks 5,000 yards. And no. He did break 3,000.
Yeah, he ain't getting 5,000 this year.
Yeah.
All right. I came in with Hocker only misses one field goal all year, regardless of length.
Or team he played for.
I don't know. Jason and Jeff both had Cooks finishing with 1,500 yards. Jason had the addition of a Pro Bowl appearance.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Damian Swan plus five interceptions. Why? Who said that? Why?
Probably me. If he wouldn't have got fucking concussed.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Remember? I mean, he's missed a lot of games because of this concussion, so that stinks. But he played well when he was in.
Yeah. And nobody had a bold prediction of Brandon Browner committing more penalties than the history anybody in the history of the NFL.
It'd be a lot cooler if we did.
Yeah. All right. So final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. Just, I don't know, try to enjoy these last five games if it's possible. Just hope we can beat Carolina and Atlanta and give us a little bit of excitement. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Just hope, these aren't the last five games of Drew Brees in a Saints uniform. I don't need to get. I'm depressed enough as it is.
Okay. Damon, final thoughts.
Well, over the weekend, LSU administration did the right thing. They've apparently decided to bring Les Miles back. So that's good for some sports in South Louisiana, I feel. Well, again, he might not win a national championship, but he wins. This year should still have been probably a 10-win year for him if there was that one game that got canceled because of the weather, you know, and they're going to go to some bowl game and they'll and so look, a 10-win season in college football is nothing to sneeze at. It's just you can't beat Alabama, so
no one can really.
Right, not consistently. Nick Saban's only lost like five regular season games since he's been in Alabama. It's insane.
Right. You know? We shouldn't hold Les Miles to those standards.
Right. It'd be like, you know, your wife holding you to John Holmes' cock. It's just not it's just not fair. Wait a second, you know.
It's an unfair comparison.
Right, it's an unfair.
And the only reason we do, you think about it, no other team compares their coach to Nick Saban. The only reason we do is because he was our coach. And we lost him.
That's true too.
And that's not Les Miles' fault.
Right, that he wanted. But
we didn't choose Les Miles over Nick Saban. We didn't run him out of town. We didn't fire him. He left us.
And glad he did, because if not, we might not have Drew Brees, and we wouldn't have the 2009 season, and we wouldn't have the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com. It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Right.
So Nick Saban leaving LSU created us.
Right. Anyway, let's see.
Us brought to you by Nick Saban.
Going into Saturday's game against Florida, Nick Saban has gone 57-5 in regular season play. Not bad, you know.
No.
Including 35-5 in the SEC. That's pretty
damn good, right?
Pretty good. Doesn't get much better than that.
No.
All right. Well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Well, bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Didn't even have a bye-bye.
Couldn't think of one.
First time ever.
Not really.
Too late to turn back now. Run.